Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Tapping the Crypto. My name's Ted, and I'm joined by... State your name, cuz.
Pav.
Straight in there.
No muck waiting. Around. Well, this is the week not to muck around.
No, absolutely not. I guess from last week, not much has happened. We were anticipating a little bit of movement, but like...
We got it, but you got to expect this. Like, after a big sell-off,
yeah.
It takes a while to get out of these sort of trenches, or... If we're going to decide to go down, it also takes a little while to chop around before we go down. So
yeah, so we're going to unpack everything today, focusing on the state of the market, some key news that's basically launched today.
Yes.
And then covering off on some RWAs and some BlackRock news, and then finishing off, of course, with our trading competition, which I am looking forward to today more so than last week.
Good thing no one cares.
No. That's what the listeners stay for. Anyway, let's dive into our thoughts on the market. Pav, start with you.
Well, no, let's go with you first.
What's the key news of the market right now? It's the Hong Kong ETFs launching today.
Yeah.
Correct? I think the key thing to unpack here is it's going to open the market up to some Chinese investors. I think there's a little bit of a gray area on like whether it will be all Chinese investors or institutions. You know, I think they're trying to... maintain that, you know, crypto is still legal, but this gives them an avenue.
Yep, absolutely.
But there's a lot of speculation that these ETFs are actually going to outperform the US Bitcoin ETFs on the first day. And that's based on pre-launch interest. So.
Really?
Yeah, like, I mean, if that's the case, then you've got to say, then there's a lot of Chinese investors getting involved. It's not just people in Hong Kong, which, you know, Hong Kong is a kind of part of China anyway, but mm-hmm. I don't think
it's a bit of a business hub for the world, right?
Yeah, so, exactly.
I don't know I probably should have read more into like who can actually buy these things. I'm like, I know they've got sophisticated investor tests.
Yeah.
But I wonder if like overseas nationals could also purchase. So imagine they could.
Yep.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's the key news at the moment. But what I wanted to kind of bring up is a little bit of a tweet showing where we are sitting in the market because people, I mean, we were talking about before the episode, you know, market's a bit boring right now and we're just keen for a little bit of excitement. But I think it's key to understand, you know, perspective of these things and compare it to previous cycles as we always do. So this tweet's a little bit outdated, but it's good for, you know, gaining a bit of perspective on where we are. So as you can see, for anyone listening, we'll show you the charts on the YouTube, but we'll kind of break it down to you if you're listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. So it's comparing where we are in the current cycle to previous cycles. It shows that we're about 17 months in. It's a bit outdated, so it shows we're about 12 months, but we actually are, in fact, about 17 months in for this, you know, 50-month cycle.
Yep.
And if you look at previous cycles, particularly the one in 2021 and the one in 2018, the two previous bull runs, you'll see that those peaks or, you know, happened around about the 24 to 36 month mark. So we're still a while off that, as I mentioned, like about the 17th month mark. And as you can see there, like around this time back in the 2021 cycle, or it was 2020 back then, you know, Bitcoin saw a big sell-off as a result of the COVID crisis. So I guess we're around about the same stage there. And then after that, you know, things started to pick up again and the market had this huge run up until about the 24-month mark and where it started to kind of taper off. But yeah, I think it's important to gain like people are getting a little bit of FUD around these, you know, around the geopolitical crisis going on in the Middle East. But just understand that, you know, these things aren't necessarily going to destroy the market. They're just minor setbacks and potentially a good opportunity to fill your bags, maybe dollar cost average into the coins you're already in.
Yeah,
that you
exactly.
have conviction on.
Yeah.
I know me and you both, did that, you know, over the last week. So that's our strategy. Not saying it couldn't go down anymore, but like that's kind of where we sit on things.
Absolutely. And another thing you take away from this too is there has been other periods where we see corrections, like we've just gone through, it's going to happen again on the way to the top if everything plays out the same way it has every other time. So expect this.
Yep.
Don't be caught off guard. If you're losing because of leverage, lose the leverage. Yeah, simple buy and hold strategies when the whole market goes up a 10x. I mean, you just have to get lucky on even one of your 10 investments, maybe. And, you know, that's when you get your life-changing movements.
Yeah. It's easy to kind of turn your back on the market in times like these because, you know, you're not getting excited. You're not getting the dopamine hit from the green in your portfolio every day. But this is a good time to kind of, you know, break it down, do your research,
understand. Take a bit of a break too, to be honest. It's the only time you get to rest and recharge too.
Yeah, but I think it's also a good opportunity when, you know, the rest of the market's, you know, it's taking a break, as you mentioned. It's a good time to actually do some deep dives, understand different narratives and maybe buy some dips.
On that point, we can actually look at, because it has been about 7 days of price trying to recover. We've done this on the show before where we can actually value on a aggregator website like CoinMarketCap everything in Bitcoin. So we can see Bitcoin's obviously going to show the most amount of strength, being the market leader. This is how you can come and make your own watch list. I think we've talked about before as well. So all I'm doing is arranging in the value of Bitcoin, all the assets in their performance in the last 7 days. And we can see some absolute standouts here. So Helium, HNT, mm-hmm. up 50% against Bitcoin. So it's outpacing Bitcoin right now by a significant amount. Bonk, the old meme coin narrative still seems to be there. HBAR, be a bit concerned about that one. I think that was on a fake news pump. They basically said that they were associated with BlackRock and their real world asset tokenization scheme, but then BlackRock came out and said, no, you're not. So that was pretty funny and pretty interesting. But yeah, there's some pretty interesting ones here also. Wormhole W, which has been a recent listing, and Pepe. So they're just a couple of top five that I would now go away, put that on a watch list, and see if that sort of makes sense in my plan from my swing trading perspective. But pretty simple things that people can do right now, like you said. I think you're right. And like, here's the moment that we've all been waiting for, like just more entrants coming into the market. Like, we don't have to guess too hard to see what the US ETFs did for the market, bar maybe 1 or 2 weeks of it sort of being priced in and settling in on price. But I'm really keen to see how this all sort of plays out in the market, especially because the Asia trading sessions always lead up into the US trading sessions.
Yep.
So what we've noticed in the past is the ETF flows have been a real significant driver of sentiment, but the data comes out anywhere between like 10 a.m. our time all the way to like 3 to 4 p.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time. So now we're going to have a whole nother group of buyers where the data or the settlements come out like in the middle of the night. So you might see like this, I don't know, like it would just be interesting to see how the market sort of sort of ebbs and flows between the two sets of institutional buying data coming out. Because that was a really big driver for when you look at how price moved when those data prints came out, specifically BlackRock, because they were the major buyers.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we're also seeing Michael Saylor and the squad back at it.
Man, I got to congratulate you. You actually picked this. I think you literally said, by this time next week, we'll be talking about Michael Saylor having a lot more Bitcoin. So you nailed it.
There we go. So
you got insider tips or something, man.
And I think we just we're all drinking from the same cup, I think. Because we were DCAing too. So, you know, I feel like you get that in, you know, it's either brain damage or you're a solid investor like purchasing in these sort of market conditions. So it's good to see, one of the most successful Bitcoin campaigns, if not the most, continue to purchase right now. So they've, gone ahead.
I think they own more than 1% of the supply now.
That's probably why he did it, just wanted that 1%.
Yeah. It's a pretty big flex.
Yeah, that's a huge flex. But other than that, I mean, if we just quickly jump over to like Bitcoin on the technical charts, like I'm loving what I'm seeing, but there's still a little bit more to get us out of the woods.
Mm-hmm.
So for those listening at home, basically we've been trading for about 40 plus days in this range between 74 and 60K. Very, very key and crucial. On the 18th of April, so what's that, last week and a bit, we did make a new low, but we've since then reclaimed, and what I like to see is we're actually starting to put in new highs or relative higher highs. So if price were to sort of start to settle and hold at these current levels between 62 and 64K and we start to push higher, this is what you generally would want to see for what would usually start an uptrend. So we don't know if it's an uptrend just yet, but this is exactly what I would want to be seeing for an uptrend to develop. But that being said too, like there's nothing to stop this market, you know, moving and rallying up to like 68K in this situation and then not finding any interested parties and we just start to mark down.
Yep.
And that's when we start to see the situation of, you know, 50 odd K again. Mm-hmm. So like we sort of said, there is a sort of latent sort of lag period after the halving where we just don't know what happens, but we wouldn't be surprised if the market just went dull for a few months.
Yeah.
And then
before.
Yeah. And it sort of picks up again later in the year. And looking at the macroeconomic world, like everyone's waiting for rate drops. So it kind of would make sense that the market might take a break until rate drops come towards the back end of this year as well. So I wouldn't sort of discount the idea that things could just go very stagnant for a couple of months too. So we won't know until we get up to these sort of plus 67K region. And we're probably talking next week, hopefully.
Yep.
We might be able to see what price is doing up here, but right now I'm favoring a move personally up about 5% on Bitcoin, which could be some good gains across many altcoins.
Speaking of rate drops, did you see what Trump said?
Yeah, what did he say? Something like, I'm going to set my own interest rate.
Yeah, he said if he's president, he'll set the interest rates, which
that would be great for all of our bags.
Yeah, for a short period of time, then I think he might destroy the world economy.
Oh, that's fine. We'll deal with that next year.
Yeah, we'll sold off by then.
Yeah, exactly.
My gold.
But we can just jump straight into, I guess, some top movers now.
Yeah, so you covered a lot of these before. I think the across the week, most of the market is in the red, apart from some key ones that you mentioned. So Helium HNT, that obviously falls within the sort of AI DPIN narrative. Couldn't find too much of like why it had such a big pump. I think it's just, you know,
if I had to call back, I just think there's maybe just some pretty good syndicates running that one because it was the absolute leader before the market ran in like October, November, December. It was leading the charge. And then when the rest of the market caught up, it kind of slowed down. So I'm kind of liking seeing HNT there, to be honest.
Yep.
If those same market makers are at action, if that's what it is.
So yeah, it's a leading DPIN project. Yeah. It's got its own mobile phone network in the US and it's partnering with the likes of T-Mobile. And so it's doing pretty big things. And then, yeah, I think it's one of those ones that's leading the charge in terms of actual physical infrastructure.
Yep.
Like other ones say this, but you know, that
it's all speculation.
Sort of, it's just sort of ideas, but they're killing it. Bonkers, you mentioned. So I actually had WIF in my demo trading portfolio because of Bonk's success last week, expecting WIF to kind of follow. It didn't do as such, but Bonk seems to have maintained that. So Bonk is a dog themed meme coin on Solana. Dog with hat is the same thing.
Yeah.
Dog with hat seems to be more popular, over the last sort of few months. So I was a bit surprised to see that, but that's all right. And then HBAR as well, like you said, like there was that speculative news about a partnership between them and BlackRock, which literally just caused a huge spike in the price of HBAR.
Yeah, it was like 100%+.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's funny because HBAR hasn't really done much in a long time. I know there's like some real big HBAR maxis out there, like they're just obsessed with the tech, but it doesn't seem to be garnering that much attention these days. But hey, they might do okay as on the back of this RWA narrative as well.
If they can do something with it. Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, and so based on what we've just discussed, the whole BlackRock HBAR, you know, speculation news, I wanted to jump into a little segment about BlackRock because they're so focused on crypto. You know, they've basically driven this recent market rally, haven't they, with their Bitcoin ETF. Mm. And the CEO of BlackRock, Larry Fink, has mentioned several times that he sees the next step as being tokenization of assets. And so in crypto, we call that tokenization of real world assets, or RWAs. And so we've covered it before. But BlackRock is, you know, the biggest asset manager in the world. They're so powerful. They've got a lot of pull when it comes to US elections and stuff like that. I think they were the biggest funder of Joe Biden's campaign.
Yep.
And so they have a lot of pull. Yeah. So there's a lot of speculation around who they're going to, if they're going to, you know, come out in support of any particular crypto projects. Ondo Finance seems to be a key one because, you know, as we spoke about recently, BlackRock launched their own tokenized fund on the Ethereum network, and Ondo actually transferred in $95 million into that fund.
Right.
So there's clearly a little partnership connection going on there. And I think there was actually an exchange back of only about $250K from BlackRock to Ondo. Tiny, I mean, that's like pocket change for them, but it just kind of shows you that they are looking to, you know, build that relationship with Ondo. So Ondo seems to be, you know, a leader in the RWA space. But yeah, I wanted to break down this tweet that we've got on the screen here. So for those that are not watching the video, so there's this tweet from an analyst called Maya, and they've basically broken down that they think BlackRock will come out in support and form a partnership with another small crypto project called Energy Web, and they have a token called EWT, and he breaks this down pretty well. So it's pretty lengthy, so I'll just give everyone the TLDR, the too long didn't read. So Energy Web token, it's a token under, you know, 100 mil market cap, so pretty small in these days in this market. And BlackRock actually invited the guys from Energy Web to their digital asset summit, and they actually spoke there. And for any, that might not seem like a big deal, but the only other crypto native project invited to speak at the summit was Circle. So Circle are ones who issue USDC, one of the big stable coins, and they've got strong ties with Coinbase as well. So they're very well connected, but it's just interesting that they invited these Energy Web guys, what seems to be like pretty unknown people in that space. But the tweet goes on. So BlackRock has partnered with a company called Temasek, which apparently has deep connections with Energy Web. And now BlackRock and Temasek are launching a $1.4 billion fund targeting the acceleration of decarbonization, which is exactly what Energy Web and the Energy Web token is all about and strives to achieve. So they think, you know, there's potential that they will integrate in some shape or form. And then, yeah, I think the key thing to understand here is like, this is a tiny token. So people might look at this as like a, you know, a key opportunity, being like, if even just an announcement of a partnership of some sort between BlackRock and that token will pump.
Yeah.
But it's still
with Hedera, right?
Exactly. And this is way smaller in terms of market cap, but this is still highly speculative. There's no, you know, guarantee that this will happen. Yeah.
Some good sleuthing.
Yeah. It's a good little bit of research that I just was really interested in. So I haven't invested in EWT. Yeah. It's just kind of one to watch. And like, if it happens, then I'm sure it will do good things. But, Energy Web has actually worked closely with the likes of PayPal, Shell, and also Vodafone. So it's not like they're new to this whole, you know, partnering with the big dogs in that kind of space. So yeah, one to watch for sure.
Yeah. No, real good shout. Good work, Ted. That's great.
Thanks, Pav.
I don't know what else to say. I'm just blown away.
Yeah, just admiring.
What else we got? We got some, Bitcoin ETFs arriving on Aussie shores. So top exchanges will supposedly be able to be the place where you can access those. So tradable on the ASX, basically following in the footprints of the US, of Hong Kong. Mm. So I would only expect, again, like this is what we're talking about, just increasing the aperture for how easy it is for people to get in.
Yeah.
Not too sure what the sort of structure will be or the fees, but I think the current expectations are $4 billion in flows.
So this is Jeff Yu, who used to be CEO of Binance Australia, is saying that, and he's actually the CEO of a
Monochrome,
which is an Australian Bitcoin fund.
Yep.
So he would, you know, have some high sort of predictions, but yeah, he's predicting $3 to $4 billion in inflows in the next sort of 3 years, which is pretty large. But the key thing here is Australia actually had a spot Bitcoin ETF before the US.
We did.
But it wasn't on the ASX, which is our main stock exchange. It was on the Cboe exchange, which isn't even Australian from my knowledge. So it's now arriving on the ASX. So I guess it opens up to a lot of institutions who, you know, weren't necessarily willing to go down the crypto exchange route. Now they can go through the traditional stock market route to buy Bitcoin.
Yeah. So good one for, again, just increasing spot buying of Bitcoin. This is, you know, for all the people investing in hodling, this is exactly the kind of news you want to see. Make it easier for the masses.
Yeah. Just an adoption story more than much. Anything.
And then we have, this is a great one. You can jump on this one.
Yeah, this is massive and it actually shocked me. So some news coming out of the, from Nansen. So they're like a analytics reporting company. So they've reported that Tether, USDC and DAI, all US dollar stable coins, the transaction volume for all those three stable coins combined surpassed Visa's, you know, monthly transaction average in the last 30 days.
Yeah,
okay. No, I think in the last month.
Oh, last 30 days.
Which is crazy because like Visa is the biggest payment network in the world. Like obviously there's MasterCard as well, but Visa's a bit bigger. Their household name, you know, everyone sees Visa on their card or, you know, when they're making payments online. And so the fact that stablecoin transactions have surpassed that in volume is crazy.
Yeah, I've got the number here. So the total for the three is 1.3 trillion. And yeah, that is 1.23 trillion is the average for Visa. So just edging ahead. Huge.
Massive.
Huge. There you go.
Yeah. I think the stablecoin space is an interesting one because like we've spoken about it before, USDT and USDC, a lot of these stablecoin issuers are making huge amounts of money, right? Like just unheard of amounts of money. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's triggered the likes of PayPal to launch their own stablecoins, which is PYUSD.
Yeah.
And then just recently Ripple. So Ripple, you know, what are they? The owners of XRP, the guys who
Ripple Labs
behind XRP, they've basically come out and said, yeah, we're going to launch our own stablecoin, which kind of,
do you want to do a stable coin?
Yeah, we might as well. We I think one? there's more money in that.
I've got $50.
yeah, that's enough. We'll get some investors. But yeah, well, I don't know. Where do you think that leaves XRP? The fact that they're launching a stable coin, which, you know, XRP was meant to be this cross-border currency that banks would use, but now they're launching their own stable coin on the Ripple net.
You just have to see where it goes. Like, you could argue that the stable coin is what people want for settlement. So if you can't offer that, well, then kind of pointless.
Does that just mean XRP will go to die?
Oh, I don't think anyone wants to hear that.
Yeah, true. Sorry, all XRP.
But it's, I don't know. Like, at the end of the day, you look at why is Ethereum successful? Why is Solana successful? It's because there's people on the networks. Mm. Yes, they might be like janky to use and hard to get into, but there's still people using it. They're doing stuff. They're swapping stuff.
Yeah.
Minting NFTs. I think you need to see the same sort of stuff or a new version of that happening on the networks to sort of see those thrive. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
but exactly. But there's lots of people holding stuff. Like Cardano is another one. Like, I think the real one that's currently everyone's pointing fingers at is Polygon.
Mate, what has happened to Polygon? It's like not doing anything.
It's undone, I think, most of the gains it made last cycle still. And like the rest of the market's kind of run. I think when you compare it to its value in Bitcoin. So
yeah. I sold off all my Polygon just because, I didn't see any major catalyst apart from the...
It's like a rebrand coming.
The token rebrand. It's gone from Matic to Pol. Yeah, Pol. And so there'll probably be a little bit of a pump behind that news.
They
do it right. But
they could be putting all their eggs in one basket, just waiting for that until they do anything. To sort of stimulate their
it's weird because they landed all those major partnerships with, the likes of Mercedes, Disney, all the sporting leagues in America to kind of facilitate their NFTs and NFT platforms. And just 2023 and 2024, it's done nothing. So,
But I'd still watch it. Like, I still think when things are at their worst, there's usually the time to watch them sort of turn around. So we'll see if that happens for Polygon. But we'll wait and see.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that's a wrap.
Mate, we haven't done our...
the comp.
We've got to talk about the comp.
We can skip it.
Nah, we've got to focus on the comp this week because your boys leveled it up. It's now 1-1 because I have taken the W this week.
You deserved it.
Thanks. I mean, my portfolio is still down. So it's just literally who lost the least. But still, I'll take the win.
It wasn't too bad. Look, so I ended up with 8,775. Yep. And I had a split between IMX, Bitcoin, and Solana. So no good on that front. And what did you wind up with, Ted?
Yeah, I had a split between Bitcoin, Dog with Hat, and Render.
Yep.
And the majority was in Bitcoin, and that kind of held the value, and then WIF did okay and Render didn't do too great. So, but I guess, the idea is after every week we reset our Demomo balance, which you can do on the SwiftX app, and then we start again and we just, keep a tally of who wins week to week.
So we're one for one.
So
whoever loses does an Udi run.
I mean, that wasn't discussed, but live on the potty as an exclusive.
Yeah.
So Pav, what do you got this week?
I've got, not straying too far from the formula, but I'm liking what I'm seeing from DPIN and storage spaces. So I'm going to go Arweave, OP, just optimism. Just I've got a feeling with just the technicals on Ethereum, we might see some sort of final relief rally coming.
Yep.
And I just like OP as a potential beta play on top of ETH, so something that might move a little bit faster.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to expose the port into a little bit of optimism and... Yeah, Bitcoin, just because we are in the trenches right now. Kind of think you got to have a bit of a stable footing in your portfolio. So for me, Bitcoin right now. So probably 50% Bitcoin, 25% the other two.
We'll
see where we sit next week.
Nice. So I'm not changing my strategy at all this week. I'm going the exact same. So obviously we'll reset the portfolio, but I'm going straight back in. Bitcoin at 50% of my portfolio, like same thing, dominance still strong.
Yep.
I think we'll get a bit of a relief rally soon. Sticking with Dog with Hat based on what we talked about, Bonk is performing well. WIF's another Solana-based meme coin, and it's held its value in this sort of market downtrend, so I think it's going to do well.
Yeah, I think you're going to undo me if WIF just goes, it's down so much.
Yeah, and then lastly, Render, similar sort of sentiment to Pav. My thesis here is the DPIN / AI narrative is running hot. We saw the likes of Helium and Arkash doing well this week, so I think Render falls in that space as well as one of the key DPIN sort of AI projects out there. So I think that I'm putting 25% into Render.
Nice.
So we have to wait and see who takes the W next week.
If we move, I think you win again, because that's definitely lower market caps than what I'm dealing with.
Mate, you're already coming with excuses. What is this?
I can't change it now.
You know what? I've got a little bit of an interesting take, don't know if it's my take, but meme coins, you just can't deny it. Hey, the fact that Dogecoin bottomed out at $8 billion in market cap, in the cycle low, and maintained its spot in the top 10.
Yep.
And then now we're seeing the likes of WIF, Bonk, like all different types of meme coins. It's like, even if you're not a fan of like the whole concept behind meme coins and they don't really have any intrinsic value, you just can't deny it. So if your strategy is like, I want to get a position in every narrative, you can't deny that meme coin's going to be a key narrative in the cycle.
Mm. Yeah, I agree. I think there was a bit of a research done by the likes of Franklin Templeton, like Wall Street gurus. Basically saying they found a very positive correlation that when the amount of active users increases or even rapidly increases on a network, it's usually followed in quick succession with a rapid rise in meme coin valuations. So great examples recently, Solana, we're still seeing that today.
Yep.
And then Base Network too. So we saw the same sort of thing take off there. So it's like, It's just what you get this day and age in crypto. So either participate or stay on the sidelines. It's up to you. But
get left behind.
That's it. Well, maybe.
maybe. Anyway, Pav, let's wrap it up.
Put a bow on it.
Put a bow on it, mate.
Oh, you want me to do it? Okay. Yeah. Thanks for watching today, guys. We'll see you next week. And again, if you like what you're hearing, come check us out on YouTube. We have been sharing some nice squiggly charts and tweets. Always a bit helpful to see something rather than us try and fumble our way across trying to explain it. But yeah, thanks very much, guys. Enjoy the rest of your weeks. Catch you later.
See ya.
Thank you so much for joining us for today's show. If you liked it, don't forget to head over to the gram and join us at Tapping Into Crypto. And before we finish up, just a general disclaimer that this podcast is for entertainment purposes only. And the opinions on this podcast belong to individuals and are not affiliated with any companies mentioned. Any advice is general in nature and does not take into account your own personal situation. If you're looking to get advice, please seek out the help of a licensed financial advisor. We'll talk to you soon.